Well, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, how many of you have ever tried to make a prediction on something? Maybe you've looked outside, tried to guess the weather. Or maybe you put a little money behind your prediction and wagered your team in the World Series or the Super Bowl. The truth is we try to make predictions all the time, don't we? So I got a couple of predictions from the past that from people who are really well trusted in their fields. Thomas Watson, he's the chairman of IBM, and in 1943 he said, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." There was an inventor by the name of Lee DeForest, and he claimed, while theoretically and technically, television may be feasible, commercially and financially, it is an impossibility. The Decca Recording Company, they made a prediction on a band in 1962. They said, "We don't really like their sound. The and guitar music is kind of way on their way out." And that was the Beatles. I think we all want to know what's going to happen down the road. But the problem is that we actually have no idea what is in store for us. So if you remember in last week's reading, Jesus was in the temple and he was watching the treasury and he was commenting on the widow's faithfulness because she gave 2 copper coins into the temple, which is all she had. Well, in today's reading, Jesus and the disciples, they're coming out of the temple and the disciples remark, "Look, teacher, these stones on this building." And the disciples, they were genuinely impressed for a good reason. The smallest of the stones in the temple weighed about 2 to 3 tons, but many of the blocks, they weighed upwards of 50 tons. The stones were so large that they actually don't need mortar in between them or anything to hold them together because the weight holds them together. During Jesus' time, the temple was so big that it could hold 250,000 people. Does the Dallas Cowboys stadium hold that many? Anybody know? Yeah. There isn't a sports facility in the United States that holds that many people. The disciples were right to be impressed at the temple, but Jesus, he doesn't join them. In proper rabbinic fashion, he uses the disciples' own reflections and emotions to teach them a lesson. Jesus looked back at the temple with his disciples and predicted, "Do you see all of these great buildings? Not one stone will be left on another. All will be thrown down." And Jesus is teaching his disciples a difficult lesson. In essence, he's telling them that nothing in creation is permanent. And there's eventually going to be an end to everything. See, the disciples were so impressed with the permanence of the structure, evidenced by its largeness, that they couldn't fathom a time when it would be gone. So in today's gospel, we learn that the created order is temporary. Buildings that humanity constructs, they will come down. Pure teaching will be undermined by people who actually claim to be Jesus themselves. Peace is only going to last until nation rises against nation. Tranquility will be broken when natural disasters hit. People are going to go hungry and famine. I think we've always experienced this kind of brokenness that Jesus describes. In recent memory, at least for me, in some of your memory goes back further than mine. We had Oklahoma City and New York. Buildings came down. David Koresh, Sun Myung Moon, led people to believe that they were Jesus Christ incarnate on earth. Iraq and Afghanistan and now Paris reminds us that we are at war with terrorism. And then Hurricane Katrina and the tsunamis and earthquake in Japan show us that natural disasters are all around. In fact, 925 million people went hungry last year. Things in this world, they are broken and they are transitory. And picking up on this idea, the author in the book of James, he writes, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is but mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Not only are our lives like mist, they're filled with brokenness during that time. See, the outlook that Jesus gives the disciples in today's reading is not this heavenly focused outlook. He points them away from trying to know the future and brings them back to today, telling them that the world is messed up and it's going to continue that way for some time. And 2,000 years later, all we have to do is turn on CNN to know Jesus was right. But he doesn't leave it there. He doesn't just teach doom and gloom and say, well, that's just the way it is. He tells the disciples to do something. See, the brokenness that Jesus describes continues well beyond the passage we read in verse 13. What we read is only the beginning of a larger section that continues until verse 37. And it's not until Jesus finished explaining how bad things are, which becomes worse and worse starting in verse 14, that Jesus gives the main teaching of what he's trying to get at. In verse 37, he tells the disciples, keep awake. And I think Jesus is telling us that today. I wonder how many of us are actually living our lives asleep, with our eyes closed to the things that God cares about. How many of us are asleep to the plight of the poor? How many of us take a snooze when those on the margins of society cry out? Or take naps when God calls us to action? See, Jesus says to the disciples to keep awake. See, we're all called to open our eyes to the people beside us. We're called to look into the brokenness of the world and be Christ's hands and feet. We're called to stare down and face injustice. We're called to keep awake because God is already up to something in the world, and we need our eyes open so we can participate in it. See, we as disciples are called to continue the work of Jesus. See, he saved us from this bondage of needing to retreat from the world and not really be a part of it, but Jesus calls us to head directly into it as his disciples. And friends, we as a congregation, we have caught some of that vision already. We as a church, we saw the brokenness of poverty and hunger in our community. And there are people that gather here on a weekly basis who sort food and package it, and then they take that food and they feed hundreds of people. We as a church, we are awake to the fact that addiction breaks apart families. And so we provide space for 12-step programs in order that those who are addicts and that their families, they can find the support that we need, that they need. We as a church know that the world is broken and we are entering into it because that's what God calls us to do. We all like to make predictions, right? Here's some predictions I'm pretty sure about. The world is going to be broken and fractured. People will go hungry, wars will happen, natural disasters will occur. But the Church of Christ will be with people walking through all of those situations. You will be with people walking through those situations. We as the church are going to continue, despite what is going on in the world, to be the hands and the feet of Christ to those around us. And we're going to do that until Jesus comes back again and sets everything right. See, the good news is that Jesus keeps his promises. The world will not endure like this forever because he will return. No one knows when or where or how. He will come back and fix everything. God uses his word to bring faith into our lives and then sends us out in action. May he use each and every single one of you to complete his will. Amen.